Good morning. Thank you for being with us here at First Lutheran Online this Sunday. You know, when I was in seminary, one of my fellow seminary students who was working on his doctorate, he was a missionary from the Himalayas. He was from the mountains of Nepal. Well, actually, he was from an entirely different country, but he was a refugee in Nepal. And while in the refugee camps, he became a Christian. And as a Christian, he learned, he grew, he became a church leader. And he began traveling all over Nepal to teach the various different villages in the mountains of the Himalayas about Jesus Christ. Now, Nepal has a problem. And the problem is that the Chinese government in Tibet funds and trains guerrilla warfare groups that then cross over the border into Nepal to try to spread communism. And so the Nepalese government is always on the lookout for Chinese agents in the form of Tibetan guerrilla warfare warriors. And so it's a constant danger in Nepal. And my friend was traveling to an isolated village in the mountains of the Himalayas when the military pulled his bus over. They were looking for insurgents. They were looking for communists. And so everybody's filing off the bus, and they're handing their passport and explaining why they were on their way to the village that they were on. And my friend couldn't do this because he was a refugee. And he was a refugee who had no paperwork. And so he had no password. No passport, no ability to prove that he was, in fact, not a communist insurgent. And so as he got out of the bus, and they said to him, "Hello, sir, where are your papers?" He said, "I don't have any." They asked for his name. His name happens to sound quite Tibetan, because his family originally, many generations ago, was from Tibet. And so he gave his name, and they said, "Well, sir, are you Tibetan or are you Nepalese?" He says, "Well, I'm actually of a different country and then a different country, and now I'm here as a refugee." And they asked him a great many questions. The soldiers became convinced that he was, in fact, a communist who was in incognito and on a secret mission. And the longer they questioned him, the more it became obvious that they were going to probably execute him on the spot, because that's what the Nepalese army does when they catch communist spies. They shoot them on the spot. Finally, in one last moment of inspiration, he reaches into his bag and he pulls out his Bible. And he says, "I have this with me. I don't have a passport. I have my Bible. I'm on my way to a village to teach the people about Jesus Christ." The soldiers look through his Bible, saw all the notes that he'd written in the margin, all of the things that he'd written about his own personal spiritual journey that he'd written in the margins of his Bible. They asked him questions about the Bible. Finally, they handed it back to him, and the soldier says to him, "Well, I suppose a communist wouldn't also be a Christian. You're free to go." And he says, "You know, you never think about the possibility that your Bible might save your life." He says, "But in my case, it literally saved my life." He continues to do ministry in the mountains of Nepal, continues to do it without a passport, and continues to struggle with the possibility that either the Nepalese government might accidentally mistake him for a communist and kill him, or he might actually encounter actual communist insurgents who might recognize him for what he exactly is, a Christian missionary, and execute him. And yet he continues in his ministry. It is a stark reminder to us that in the 20th century, more Christians died for the faith in the 20th century than in the 19 centuries that came before combined. We do not live in a safer world for Christians. We just happen to live in a safe corner of a dangerous world for Christians. And so my friend has given his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ and may one day give his life in service of the gospel of Jesus Christ in its entirety. This sounds tragic and this sounds unfair, but if you read what Jesus says about what we can expect in this world as people of faith, it actually sounds completely understandable. When Jesus is preaching here in the gospel lesson today, in the Gospel of John, he says, "For those who seek to save their life will lose it, and those who seek to give up their life for my sake will gain eternal life." Jesus is recognizing the simple fact that there may be points at which a Christian has to make the choice. Do we say, "I'm for Jesus Christ," knowing that in having done so, we may endanger our life? Or do we say, "No, I'm not for Jesus Christ," knowing that that endangers our eternal soul? Now, you and I, we may say, well, we live in the West, we live in America, we live in a place where people don't seek to take our life. We don't have to worry about maybe government soldiers shooting us because they think we're one thing, or communists shooting us because we are, in fact, another thing. But we pray for and we remember those people in the parts of the world where that is a reality. And we remember the simple fact that though we may not be called upon to sacrifice our life in its entirety for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we may be called upon to sacrifice elements of our comfort, elements of our livelihood, elements of our existence in the society that we live in. Are we willing, in the world that we live in, to place ourselves wholly and completely in the kingdom of God, in support of the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that this may put us at odds with the world? And what sort of concessions are we willing to make in order to stay in the good favor of the world? Well, when Jesus is speaking to this group of believers in Jerusalem, his answer would, of course, be that we make no concessions to this world, that we be willing to lose the whole of our lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that in return we receive forgiveness of our sins, renewal of our life, and life everlasting, and that that is a much more precious thing than anything that we could try to preserve in this world. We don't live in a world, or at least we don't live in a part of the world, where our physical lives are in danger. But we do live in a part of the world where it is becoming increasingly hostile to those of us who are of the Christian faith. We live in a world where we are not the cultural norm or standard. We are not the expected way that people will behave. We live in a world where we are called upon to live according to God's laws, in God's kingdom, and according to God's truths. And these are in direct conflict with the truths and the kingdom of the world that we live in. What are we willing to sacrifice for the one who has sacrificed everything for us? See, Jesus calls us to follow him and to live as he lived, because we have been redeemed by the grace, mercy, and forgiveness that he has given us. In return, how are we willing to live like him? And in living like him, are we able to recognize that the Holy Spirit will lift us up to a newness, a wholeness, and a completeness of life that we couldn't possibly have if we tried to save our life in this world? Christ calls us to give up our connection to this world. Give up our connection to the culture of this world. Give up our connection to the politics of this world. Give up our connection to the expectations of this world. And take wholly and completely hold of the Holy Spirit's guidance in order that we might fully be grasped by, enveloped in, and lifted up to life in the kingdom of God, a life that brings us true peace, true happiness, true joy. It encourages us to let go of all of the things of this world and receive instead the grace of Jesus Christ that overcomes it all. You and I, hopefully, will never be called out of a bus somewhere to stand on the side of a mountaintop road and defend our existence, knowing that at any moment we may die. But we will have little moments all day, every day, wherever we go, where we have to make a choice. Do we stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, or do we sit quietly and let the world assert truths that are contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we hold up the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that this may endanger our status in this world, knowing that in doing so, we lift our status in the kingdom of God? Amen.